Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Today we have another great show dealing with metaphysics, spirituality, science, and other interesting such subjects. And if you would like to participate, you can call in. The number is right on the website you are looking at right now, so you can call in. If you're in Canada, there's an 800 number. If you're in the U.S., there's an 800 number. So I'm here if you'd like to talk with me. Also, wanted to mention about last week's show. I thought that was a pretty interesting subject, and hopefully you did too. So if you want to call in and say anything about that, you can. Some people have already said so over email and stuff, so I'm available. Now, tonight's show, I thought we'd be talking about balancing God's mind within ourselves. And this is a pretty interesting subject. I've covered some parts of it before on various shows, but I think this deserves a whole show to talk about how this really comes about and why this is so important. I think it's relevant to today's world. It's relevant anytime there are human beings, particularly on the planet. And let me start out by saying, what is God's mind? Because some people may not have heard other shows. They don't know what I mean by that. They may have not read something I've written or just read something else that someone else has written about the subject. Now, God's mind is really composed of three parts. That's the best way to describe it, three parts. They have, and a lot of people think they don't, but they actually do have equal standing. Each part has its own, within itself, a very important element that is, by our standards, too big to describe with just a single word or words, even a few words. So I'll try to describe them as briefly as possible, but with more than just a couple words. The first part of God's mind deals with how God can grow and how God can create more of itself by the act of creation and the act of creating with purpose, and the act of creating with a, we'll say, a specific goal. And also, it needs to be an act that goes beyond just thinking, although a lot of people think that it is a major part of thinking, because it is. But it has to be something more than that. And it involves life, because life is the way that God can grow. So in order for there to be this first part, there needs to be freedom. Freedom for the life to be able to grow itself and eventually make a choice to either do more thinking that's somewhat in line with the way its creator thinks or not to. And to allow other parts of life to either think more like it can think or not. This kind of freedom is absolute in a sense. And the absolute part of it is that life has the freedom to choose. It doesn't mean that there are not consequences if it chooses in ways that are destructive to itself and or other life. So, which would also make it destructive to God. So that's the first part. The first part has to have those elements to it. Everything I said is the first part of God's mind, and much more, by the way. I don't want to say too much, because, you know, sometimes too many words might actually get people thinking too far off from the general context. Okay, so that's the first part. The second part of God's mind is to get the choices that are contained within the freedom that some part of life is using in its thought, but also eventually in its action. You notice I'm including action here, because you'll see that it is part of this whole picture. Many people think it is not. And so there needs to be a direction to the choices so that more choices can be brought into the field of thought and action that the life is creating. So it has to be able to produce more choices by directing the choices that already exist so that its field of thought is actually growing. But oddly, God's field of thought is, as it originally was, is more limited in some ways. Isn't that strange? So, thinking about it in terms of less abstract terms, if you or I, or any of us, were to think and think in ways that connected our thoughts, that put more choices within ourselves because the way we're thinking leads to new thoughts that add to the old ways we were thinking, it builds our field of thought, but at the same time, it somewhat, very, very, very slightly, reduces the original thought of God by producing some new thought to God and to other beings that are part of this whole system. It's a very interesting process that we're talking about here. And God doesn't mind this. God doesn't mind the fact that it has to change as the life that it creates grows more as it thinks in somewhat the direction that it does. It doesn't mind that. It wants that. It wants to be part of the process, not be some stander-by watching things go on without its field of thought and action being affected by its own creations, which we call life. Wow. I think that's pretty neat. It's not too different from what human beings sometimes express about their children. They want their children to grow, and in the growth of their children, that may impinge on some of their ability to originally grow as they were, forcing changes, interrelated changes. And it doesn't have to be just children. I'm using that because many people can identify with it. It can be any other part of life, because we are all children and parents to everyone else, you see. Wow, this is kind of interesting for me anyway. I hope I'm not losing everybody else out there, but I find it kind of interesting. Okay, so those are the first two parts. When they are put together, and they're doing what I just said, and this direction also provides love and givingness, and it's amazing all the other things that is involved in it. Planning, as I think I said. All these parts of it are included in the second part, and you put that with the first part, with the freedom and the choices and all that, and as long as it continues to grow more of its creator by helping everyone else to do the same kind of thinking, wow, in the process of doing it for itself, even though it changes the creator does not stay the same, but it grows it. As long as it is doing that, it is in a process of becoming a co-creator eventually with its own creator. It's going to join and even become similar to the creator that began the process. Now, it takes life a while to get there. And human beings are a very critical element in this, which we're going to get to because this is about ourselves, if you remember today's program title. Okay, so what's this third part then? The action or activity that's going on. I mean, okay, so what does that mean? Well, the third part of God's mind is not just to have thought, because the first two parts create complete thought. That's what thought is. They also complete, when it's in God's direction, spiritual thinking. So we're talking about spiritual thought here. But that doesn't make a universe like we have. Our universe is an action universe. There's all this energy around, and beyond energy, there's an intelligence to everything. Intelligence means that one part of energy is communicating with another part, making the universe work together better if it's more like God's mind, or working to create forces and problems for everything else if it goes against God's mind. So that's how it works. And if we don't participate and we just think about it, and I know a lot of people who like to do that or say that that's what they think they are doing to become part of God, they're actually an illusion, because we are here to contribute not only our thought but our actions, and to help others do the same, to co-create with our Creator. This is an action universe that has intelligence as its, we'll say, The intelligence is the actual analysis of whether or not we are moving towards God and light, or moving towards darkness and space and distance and a loss of time between ourselves and everything else. Whoa. So that's the indication of whether we're on the right track in terms of how we're using the third part of God's mind. Now, when these three parts become balanced within a life form, that life form starts to take on light, gives off a radiance, gives off beauty. Beauty is like the a perfection and balance between the lightness and the activity that we have. I mean, it's incredible. And we become more spiritual. At the same time, we and all other forms of life do. So this is a great thing, fantastic, to balance these parts of God's mind within any life form. And the life forms that do it better are the ones that we consider eventually as human beings in judgment over the life that is similar to ourselves and less than ourselves as being of great beauty and having a beneficial development to itself and to other parts of life. We have a way of directly measuring this within ourselves, provided we haven't adopted so much destruction to parts of our mind that we fail to be able to understand it any longer. So that's the neat thing about being human, is we can recognize this. And the creatures that are less than, lower than us in development do not yet have, for the most part, that capability. A few do. We call them pets and advanced kinds of mammals and things. But for the most part, most life doesn't below us. It doesn't have within itself on an individual level that capability. Now, its soul might, the group soul for the life forms that are less than us. But we have individual souls. And that gives us great abilities to be able to determine whether this balance is achieved in any kind of life form up to our own. Now, life forms beyond ourselves, we have trouble seeing. We have trouble understanding. And so in those life forms, only the more advanced of us might have the ability to even recognize the existence of life beyond ourselves. Okay, so balancing God's mind within ourselves is a really important element to the spiritual development of who we are. It started with the beginning of humanity. Humanity began in this world millions of years ago, but the original forerunners to humanity weren't even in physical form for a while. They weren't fully developed physically, and when they were developed physically, it was like 60 million years ago, a long time ago. And those beings, we haven't found any part of them that existed, because to us they might just seem more like animals than people, but they weren't. And there were very few of them, and they existed in a place where that they will be difficult to find right now. However, the people from about half that time, about 8 billion years ago, we could find. And we have started to, in hominids that have anomalous development. They are more developed than some hominids from later times, and that's a sign that they were the first we're going to find of human beings. That those humans actually had this quality. They could determine whether they or other parts of life were like their creator. That sense made them human, as it makes us human. And for those people who are today evil or were evil in the past that don't have that sense anymore, they are technically not human beings. They are something subhuman to human beings if they created themselves. Now, we'll talk about that a little later in the show, because I want to bring that in just to show, not spend a lot of time on it, but just to show how it fits into the whole picture. Because some people say, well, how could it be evil in the world if God's so great and wonderful and everything? Well, we'll talk about that briefly. But for right now, let me go the historical way and talk about then how did we, from a humble beginning, develop more and more of the balance of these three parts within us so that today we can see more of our Creator on an average. If you average all of the consciousness, all of the human beings in the world, there's like over 6.5 billion of us, we collectively can see it better today than the average at any time since the inception of human beings. Now, that doesn't mean that we are necessarily more virtuous or spiritual than some smaller segments of humans were at any particular time. I'm just talking about if you took into account how many people there are on the planet, there's a lot of people that can see our Creator today in comparison in numbers to times in the past. And that's a good thing, by the way. There also are a lot of people that are turkeys and that are evil, by the way. And that number is kind of frightening as well. Okay, so balancing the three parts of God's mind. How is it that we are supposed to do that, and why are we supposed to do that? Well, first of all, we are along the whole ray that is called the fourth type of energy that requires that there be balance within conflict, that there be beauty eventually coming from balancing the three parts of God's mind within ourselves. And this is what we have come here for, is to provide this in ourselves and the kingdoms below ourselves by taking eventually over those kingdoms and developing our different civilizations. So it's a wonderful thing. I mean, it's a great idea. Have we been very successful in comparison to other worlds? Not too much. I'm not being negative. I'm just reporting that as a world, as a planet, we've been less successful on average in the 8 million years or so that we have gotten this thing really going pretty good. Now, we've done it for more than 8 million years. It's just there's no real physical evidence that will be found of us before that. So let's say maybe we've been doing it for 14, 15 million years. It doesn't matter. Still a very short time in comparison to the time that life has been in the world. And during this period of time that we've been able to take direct action on forms, because before 50 million, 60 million years ago, there were human beings that weren't in dense physical form, so we couldn't take the action necessary to make any changes. So the three parts of God's mind were not really represented in any fashion that we could ever say manifested itself. But now we've had the opportunity for these 15, 60 million years to manifest some element, and in 8 million years, it's been most prominent. And we have done less than the average world might have done in the same period of time, less than. If you take into account, now this is an important element, and if you don't take into account, our past karma. If you take into account the karma of this world and some of the souls that have come here to attempt to create more in it, then it balances itself out, and it looks like we've done a pretty good job. But if you just forget about that, just to compare it to some other worlds, we haven't done the greatest job. But we have come here, some of us directly connected to this world in prior elements of it, others not, but we've come here with saddled with a considerable karmic issue. And that is, there's been times where we, or those that we have been connected with, did not develop the greatest world in the past. So here we are. Now you might say, oh, we're all kind of the bad guys. No, not really. Because we're also here for the opportunity. Some people came looking for this opportunity, maybe because of karmic factors, maybe because they just want to create in such a difficult place, with others who have had that kind of karmic problem. And so as a world, getting it right, getting the balance of God's mind within ourselves, we have not been as successful as some other places, but if you figure in all of the previous issues, we've done pretty well. So we've got two sides to the coin depending upon whether you want to believe the glass is half filled or it isn't or whatever, from our past. Now, so that, where does that leave us today? Today, at the present time, we are in a tremendous conflict about these three elements, trying to get them to grow while not getting them out of balance. It's not too hard at our present stage of development for us to grow one or the other of the three kinds of parts of ourselves that make us closer to God. The problem is keeping them in balance so that we don't fall off of the good side of things and become dark, and so that we are able to continue the process with others so they can do the same. One of the problems human beings have is they, on an individual level, from lifetime to lifetime, they can actually make significant improvements in themselves. But sometimes this is at the cost of others improving. And this is where it really becomes tough, because we have so much individual consciousness that we fall in the trap of developing that at the cost of group consciousness, which is, should be part of this whole system, and finding a way to make this balance correct. Even today, I'm talking, of course, from the United States, we have a great problem with this. We are the chief problem with this in the world right now. There's many worse places that have many difficulties in the balance of God's mind, but we have the unique element of being the leading country in which we are struggling with the elements of the first parts of God's mind of providing freedom and choices and creativity and the ability to produce liberty among ourselves and others, while at the same time being loving and group conscious and giving and helpful in directing others to be able to do the same thing for themselves. This is a difficult element. Sometimes we think we're getting it right when we're really getting it wrong. I talked about some things that are politically disturbing. And so some of those political disturbances are exactly this model. The balance is off. Such as someone may get elected to office saying, well, gee, I really want to help the masses. I want everybody to have this or that, and everyone to be in a more conscious position, having more equality and a greater good is to be considered in the things that we do. Sounds great, except some of those same people in political office are at the same time doing these things by limiting the freedoms, limiting the creativity, limiting the ability to make choices of others, thinking they have a right to do that because I have to give the better a common good. You don't achieve God by limiting its life, by reducing its life, by reducing the choices of others because you think yours are better. That isn't the concept at all. As a matter of fact, that's the illusion. That's the illusion of power and the need to control and the sense of superiority and arrogance that can come where humans are at the present time in their development. It's a common theme. Has it been there for a while? Oh, yeah. But it was more astral before. Now it's getting very mental, meaning there's more arrogance than there is kind of an emotional feeling, an imagining of superiority. Now it's like, I'm not just a king, and everybody else will listen to me because I'm king. I'm smarter than everybody else, and I think faster, and I know more, and there you go. Now, that's a particular problem, and it's one of the elements of being out of balance. We've got to achieve a better balance, and achieving this balance is sometimes referred to as the middle way. The balance between these three parts of God's mind within us provides us with an incredible path. Those who find that path are truly great. They have achieved something, even if it's relatively unknown. Because once we're on that path, you can see where others are not. You can help others who are not without creating greater levels of strife and conflict. And you can make the world a more beautiful place. You have that capability. Those of you who know what I'm talking about are doing it. And those who don't, you need to hear. You need to hear about this because it's a great, great system. The balancing of God's mind, I'm going to just lead you up to this towards our break. The balancing of God's mind first requires great discipline within ourselves. It starts with humility. If you don't have humility, especially if you have false humility, meaning that you make it look like you have humility, but you're really a tyrant or terrible or something, that's really the worst. But because that's, as I said, we'll talk about that later. That's kind of one of the things that evil does. But if you really have humility, humility means that you accept, you believe that others are really wrong and you're right when confronted with a contradiction in truth between you and them. You first assume, well, they must be right. Let me listen to them. Let me see how they're doing. Let me see if I've got this wrong. Before I assume, oh, I've got it all right, and everybody else is wrong, and I'm not going to listen to anybody, and you do it this way or else, no. Well, you got to have humility. And humility is facing other people when they say, hey, this is the way I think it is, and it's in contradiction to you. Okay, fine. I can be wrong. I accept I'm wrong at this moment so I can hear you, so I can do something to change me. After humility, and that's the biggest step, by the way, after humility, then there is the act of balancing. Balancing requires three kinds of thinking. The first thought is reflection. We need to look backwards in time and see how we've been doing and how others have been doing. Have we made some mistakes that now we can see from a perspective that's somewhere distant from the immediacy of a prior behavior or thought? Then the second thing we need to have, we need to be able to contemplate our future before it's there so that we are prepared and not caught off guard that we will become a unhumble, tyrannical thinking person who denies others the rights to think and balance in themselves and denies others an action that they need or should have the opportunity to take. The third part is the ability in the moment to pause and to see the beauty in others by having gratitude and by recognizing that we are all souls and important to each other. Even if the others are lost, they have some importance to us to at least show us how we could get lost if we aren't careful. And to have tolerance for those that are lost. And even in our own mind, once we're totally convinced, it doesn't matter. Have tolerance of them because there's some way back. This is the three ways to think that we have to master, we have to become great at, to achieve the beginnings of the discipline of balancing God's mind within ourselves. And we'll be back in about 2 minutes to carry on this further with some other ideas from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of. About romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. I was just talking with our engineer, Seth, who was telling us about how to set this up to be a televised version, which we're going to look into. And so and then I can wave at everybody. I had a televised version a number of years ago on a broadcast station. But since that time, we haven't had it. So it'd be nice to be able to have people look in. Now, I wouldn't be able to see anybody else, I think. That's always a problem. But there'd be a lot of people out there to see, so that could be difficult. But people could see me, and that'd be kind of nice, I guess. There's always more communication when you can get more senses involved in the process. Okay, so I threw out there some ideas about how to balance our mind. I realized that was a lot of material to come at you really fast. Of course, I'm going to go over that more, so don't worry about it. But here we have the nature of being human, to attempt to be conscious of the balancing of our mind, whereas in life forms less than human, the consciousness is not within the individual life form most of the time. It's actually in a group soul, and the individual life forms are just literally unaware because they don't have a sense of God. They're unaware of how to do this. Human beings are the first kind of life that have awareness both equally of themselves and of their creator. They have the capability of doing that, which allows them to initiate and then hopefully accomplish the balancing of these three parts of God's mind within their own, and to choose the path that we're talking about, this middle path that produces eventually light in themselves and in others, and creates virtue, which is the activity part, in the forms around them. The light that's within them, they can try to develop more of it within the forms around them, including other people. So this is a wonderful thing that we have this, because it would make life extremely tedious, if not even worth living, to be human and not have this. Now, some people do that. I don't want you to think you can't choose that if you want. You can. But life becomes a real drudgery and miserable if you choose to go against God's thought, choose to either not balance your mind or slow down the balance in other people's minds, and to try to control others, manipulate others for the sake of, we'll say, illusion within one's world. And that illusion usually is to gain power and control and material things, while the first part of God's mind is accentuated, and the third part of God's mind is as well, while the second part, the person in illusion thinks they're just keeping at the same level, and nobody will ever know. But what was really happening is it's slowly dwindling away, the consciousness of that person, while they think they're getting away with something, and subjecting others to their control, manipulation, while they gain power over other form, including other people and other life, thinking, isn't this wonderful? And, of course, it isn't. It's terrible. But they don't know it because they're an illusion, you see. And if they do it a lot, they become evil. They lose the complete sense of the Creator, and they live for these other reasons that I just stated, instead of for co-creating with God. They seek to create, but they seek to create more of themselves at the cost of other life. Ooh, that's not good. Not a good thing at all. Now, it's incumbent upon all of us that can to prevent those who are doing this sort of thing from continuing to do it. And you might say, well, how cool. Why can't we just do our own thing and let those others do their thing and all be happy together? Well, because they will end up eventually retarding God's growth, life itself, in everything and everyone. And for us to permit them to do that is participating with them, even if we only do it by being quiet and not taking any action at all. That's a terrible thing, I know, because for a lot of people they say, well, I didn't sign up for that. I don't want to have to be involved in these struggles and fights against the dark ones that don't want to. Well, you know, if you didn't really do that, want to do that, you wouldn't come to this world. I'm talking you as a soul now, not as a human being not connected to your soul, but you as a complete being. You came here. We all came here to this world where conflict is so great and where harmony is so much needed but doesn't exist, except in a few places and a few times. We all came here to make a difference in at least this way and many others, and to be a co-creator, but also to stand up to those who want to be destroyers. I want you to know that. We really did come here with that. I know you might say, but I don't feel that way. I was born a very spiritual kind of person, and I don't want to do anything that doesn't involve beauty and just wonderment, and I just want to be kind and loving, etc. Well, that's great. But someday, you may find that that's part of the illusion as well. Again, this is an action universe. People who sit on the sidelines regret later their inaction, especially when it involves those that are trampling on the balance of God's mind, especially within others. You might say, well, okay, but you've said this thing about when we go on to the astral world, you don't have to be as much in conflict. Well, that's true. But that's because the physics changes. And the astral world allows us to somewhat segregate the darkness of others. But we still have to stand in, and sometimes there is definitely those periods where we must sacrifice and we must use some level. It isn't directly necessarily like it is in this world, of force, but some level of, we'll say, discipline within ourselves to prevent darkness from gaining an upper hand. Now, that may be something different than it is here, and I'll agree with that. But it still requires us doing things that we might not find as pleasant as to just sit and contemplate or meditate. And nothing else. I want you to be aware of that. You know, some of you have read some of the books I've written and articles. You know what I'm talking about. But a lot of you haven't. And so that's okay. I mean, I'm just telling you the way I think it is. And you can disagree with that, of course. All right. So let's get back to balancing our mind within ourselves. How are we going to achieve this within such a struggle as we are involved in? Because there is a struggle going on, and we can choose to try to ignore it, but if we do, then we'll end up with losing consciousness ourselves, and maybe inviting more of the struggle in, because those that we ignore will eventually come knocking on our door. Believe me, the more you try to avoid, the more it's likely you will become involved and sucked into this problem over time. Yeah. You can't just walk away from it. All right. So what more can we do? Well, the balancing of God's mind is best achieved when we actively involve ourselves with others who are trying to do the same at a similar, who have a similar level of balance within their mind. Finding others who are somewhat similar to ourselves in consciousness and in spiritual development is the good place to start. And each of us try to help all the others to grow. Now, if you try to get with a bunch of people who are way below yourself, you're going to find that that complicates things. It makes it most difficult. I know some people believe that that's a good way to go, you know, the Mother Teresa kinds. And they want to go out and they want to help those who are really struggling. In general, that is not the path that leads to the most balance of God's mind. And for those of you who are familiar with Mother Teresa, she struggled with this very thing. I didn't bring her up just for nothing. In her mind and in her life. So much so, she wrote about it and doubted that she was ever getting closer to balancing God's mind within herself because her struggle was so isolating away from those who were closer to her in consciousness by her activities being so different from herself and then being so directed to those of lesser, we'll say, ability. You might say, well, what could she have done better then? Well, she was a great, great person and soul who truly was a saint by definition. But saints suffer because they devote too much of themselves in one direction and not enough in balancing their mind and not enough in allowing others around them to take responsibility for some of the people who they are closer to in their development. So Mother Teresa needed to work more with people in the higher realms besides just those in the lower. I know that sounds difficult. And she was a saint. So she was there to demonstrate some elements at great cost to the balance in her mind. Read what she says about her own life. And I think you'll see that what I'm saying is not much as a heretic as it sounds. In trying to understand where she was coming from. It doesn't take away from her great, great sacrifices, but it does tell us that balancing God's mind within us takes greater wisdom than just going out and finding those who might be of the least capability and devoting ourselves to them in exclusion to balancing. I know that's what Mother Teresa did, but that's not the path for most people. Believe me, most people are not going to be saints and should not even attempt to be because it isn't the best balance. The best balance is literally finding those similar to ourselves and working as a network to help those a little less and be helpful with those who are a little bit more so that we fill in all of the spaces and work together as a unit where we are most, most capable of doing the best we can with all those around us. Sacrificing everything we have for the least is not necessarily going to get the most creation of our co-creation with our Creator done. Wow. That's a little bit difficult for some people to get. I've talked to some people and they say, well, I really want to be the one who goes out and devotes everything I have to those who have nothing. Well, okay. I mean, that may be the path for some people, but for most people it is not. For most people the path comes from working with those who are similar in consciousness and work somewhat to help those below and somewhat that are above us. But we work majority of the time with those that are similar because we have the most potential for co-creation of our Creator by doing that. And that's what it's all about. We're here to create more of God in everything, not just to promote what we at the moment feel is the most giving, but maybe not the greatest wisdom. Be careful. Givingness is not the hallmark of wisdom. Wisdom comes from being able to see truth and creating more of it in ourselves and others. And it allows us to be giving in wise ways more and more, rather than just giving for the sake of giving. Okay? So does that make sense? And the other thing to remember is that the more that someone who is much greater in ability gives to those who are much less in ability, the less they are taking, the more they are taking away from those who are less from being able to grow in some circumstances. We all think that giving to those who are greatly disadvantaged is going to immediately improve them, and it might do the exact opposite. We have to be very careful. Wisdom is a tremendous asset, but giving without it can be quite destructive to ourselves and to those we think we're giving to. Now, does that mean that we shouldn't be giving? No. We should always be giving, but giving in ways that helps others to become more giving themselves, not just give something to them that might be a anchor that forces them to reduce their creativity and puts them in a position of being less capable, not more, in the future, of creating giving in themselves and helping others to do the same in the future. This is giving of souls. This is the balancing that souls have in their own minds. As we move back through the death of each of our bodies and senses to becoming our soul, and we lose the illusions that those senses give us of the lower worlds that we come and try to improve upon, we move back into the consciousness of our soul, which is much wiser in the way that it gives than human giving is on an average. We are seeking to balance our minds while we're alive with all these bodies and senses that give us wrong information sometimes, and we make wrong knowledge out of. That's what we're trying to get over. We're trying to improve ourselves so that the balance within us, while we're physically alive and astrally alive and lower mentally alive, while we're in those spheres, we can exercise real wisdom and true God consciousness in the way that we interrelate with those around us and co-create with our Creator. That's what we're attempting to do. It's not easy. It takes a great amount of discipline. And when I say discipline, I'm talking about spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline isn't like some kind of formula that you follow. Spiritual discipline requires self-creative, focused into God ways of enacting and acting with others. That's what's so important. And spiritual discipline is not something you can just read about and say, well, I'll do this, this, and this, and I'll be spiritually disciplined. It's just the opposite. You can't really just do what other people are doing. You have to be the creator. You have to be co-creating. And you need to be wise enough to know when you're not. You need to be humble enough to be able to recognize when the illusions are coming, or you're creating them in yourself, and when others are doing the same. And you need to be able to allow others to even make fairly serious mistakes. Again, if those mistakes involve destruction of life, you have to step in. But if it just involves the person learning, or the people learning, then sometimes you just let it be, because that's the best that you can do in those situations. And it takes wisdom to know the difference between those, so that you don't reverse it and trample on people that you should allow to make the mistakes, and not intervene with those people who are being destructive. Because, well, I just want to let everybody do their thing, man, you know? If they want to do that, that's okay, right? No, it isn't. If it's destructive, if it's dark, if it continually prevents others from exercising their choices, exercising their ability to be creative, if it's evil, for sure, you've got to stand up. But on the opposite side, if someone, by you interfering will not see, not grow from their mistakes, not be able to make changes because you're coming in and doing too much for them or preventing them from being able to see it clearly, then that's a problem too. This is a great balance. This is the balance of God's mind. These are the pairs of opposites that we are faced with, the paradoxes in our existence that we are on a daily basis tested on. I know it's hard to believe, but most people, in an average day, the average person is actually faced multiple times with the issues that I just brought up. That's amazing, isn't it? And for a lot of people, they don't even know that that's what they're facing. They don't recognize that this is what is taking place in their own life almost on an hour-by-hour basis. And we are all involved in this. I can tell you that the spiritual group that I'm a member of, we have been involved in some tremendous challenges in the last few years, and especially the last number of months, tremendous challenges of darkness and greediness and problems in certain legal issues and things that are really terrible, preparing us for even greater events, by the way, that will be taking place in the not-too-distant future. And we are cognizant of these things being the tests for us at the same time that we have to put our own lives into the system and not just say, okay, we could just quit this and be a lot easier for us and go do something else. Yeah, sure it would be. But at what cost to everyone? At what cost to allow, there are certain elements of this has to do with public corruption. At what cost would that be for everyone else? Who pays for that? And people will say to some people like us, well, it isn't wise to go fight the great forces that might be around you. Well, if we don't, who is? Who is more capable? Who is more willing? Who is going to really make the sacrifices if it isn't going to be us? I guarantee it isn't going to be anyone else. No. So those are the kinds of things that we have found. And I can tell you, each person in their own right has something like this going on in their life. It could be a family situation. It could be friends, neighbors. It could be a local community thing. But you're faced with it all the time. We all are. And then collectively as a country, some of the things I've talked about in the last couple of weeks, those things are terrible. They're frightening, aren't they? Terribly, terribly frightening. And they're happening, it appears, as I speak. Does that mean that we have to take some stand in them? Yes. Absolutely. If you believe so, if you find some of the things that I've said to be true, then you do. Make that note. Be aware of it. If you want to get a hold of me, you can contact me or the group that I'm part of, thoughts@whylifeis.com. I'm available. Email me. I'd love to hear from you. Also, go to the website, agelesswisdom.com, and check that out and see if there's something on there you'd like to find out more about. If you're interested in ViroPel, it used to be ViroPel, we are still able to sell some of that to those people who know about it and know what it's about. And at this point, I'll just tell you, if you're facing issues about concerns about the present flu situations, this is a good time to have a bottle or two around, believe me. Stuff really works. I can tell you that based upon my own experience and the multitudes of other people who have tried it. I just wanted to mention that. Also, we're still promoting from foreveryoungproducts.com ideal self-absorption resveratrol for both people and pets. Works great on either one. Maybe works even as good or better with pets. But in either case, it works great. Definitely check it out. We're out of time for right now. And I just want you to all know that I hope this show has made some difference in your life, in learning how to balance the God within us the mind of God within us. Till next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.